Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red State Report. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red State Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest in sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red State Report to listen to our past shows, such as yesterday's recap that I did with Ryan McCumber in regards to the Big Ten tournament, how Michigan State won it, what they kind of need to correct as they move forward in the postseason. Today on the show, we have former Western Michigan point guard, Jeremy File. He's going to help me break down the NCAA bracket, and he'll offer up his predictions later in the show. But first, we're going to talk to him about his experiences in the tournament once he gives us a call. Right now, the bracket, as far as everybody's concerned, I was talking to Ryan yesterday about that scenario. And look, I literally think there's about 20 teams that can win the tournament. If you look at it, you pretty much have the 1-5 seeds in any of the regions. Our kids run. You look in the South, I think maybe even you could go with the top 7 teams, barring if Maryland and Iowa can get their act together. You end up looking in the West. You're also probably looking at the top 5 teams there. I think Midwest, you could go top 5, maybe top 6, because Seton Hall, they have good guard play, and that's ultimately what you need to move forward in March. And then obviously in the East, I think I talked to Ryan a little bit about this. I think you're looking at 7 teams enough. I'm still not, as far as the top 7 seeds go, I'm still not 100% sold on Xavier for whatever reason. I'm not really sure what that reason is yet. They're kind of like Villanova to me. They just seem like a mid-major. They don't seem like a power conference, even though they've a power 5 conference, even though they've played that way as of late. And so we'll see how that ends up going out. Watch this be the 1 year, now that I finally have a forum to speak on my opinion, where they do end up making a deeper run into the tournament. I apologize about that. Phone calls and messages from Jeremy File. We will have him on shortly to talk about his thoughts regarding the tournament. So there's a lot of things that can take place as March starts to unfold. It all starts tonight. Should be some great matchups, even in these standard playing games. When you're looking at the Vanderbilt Wichita State game, I think is probably going to be the most exciting of the first 4 games, the playing games, whatever you want to call them, for how March is going to play out. Hopefully, I feel like both of these teams were possibly worthy of maybe getting in without having to worry about the play-in games. So we'll see how that unravels tonight. We have Jeremy with us right now. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for coming on. There's a couple things that we want to get to before we start talking about the tournament. We kind of want to talk about your experiences playing in March. You played when Western Michigan made the tournament many years ago.
You had a good seed for it, too. Perfect seed.
Going into the selection show, the Broncos won the MAC, and so you kind of knew that you were in. Did you guys have, like, a team meeting, like you see on CBS, and watch the selection show as it unfolded, see who your first opponent was? Did your coach just come in and talk to you? How did that go for you guys, since you already knew that you were going to be playing in the tournament?
Well, great question. It brings back a lot of good memories. It's so funny because I remember when we won the MAC, we were at the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, and we got it done. And I had definitely a very emotional moment with my father because I remember we used to talk about, you know, if you work hard, maybe you could be one of those guys, you know, in March Madness. So that was one of my goals. I found a really good team, and I was definitely a backup. Didn't see a ton of minutes, but it was just a special moment. So we ended up. It doesn't become real until your name is called, and when people say that, I definitely even know how it feels. And we had a big party for the team. We were at Damon's in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I remember like it was yesterday, and there was about seemed like thousands of people were there, and there was just hundreds of people there. And that name, Western Michigan, was called, and it was just amazing. You know, we had a great group of guys. We had a lot of good leadership and a lot of hard work. And you just never forget that. You never forget when the name's called. It's just a big moment. It's great for basketball. It's great for sport. I hope that this continues to be something that's big and gets even bigger because, you know, seeing these kids that work that hard, and, you know, it needs to be always blown up like that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when your name was called. You and me, we went to the same high school, so we were friends before that situation, before that nice run that you guys had. And I can still remember at least like five players on your team from that point. I can't name five players who have been to Western, Central, or Eastern combined before or after that playing college basketball. And so I just remember how excited I was, you know, for you to get that opportunity because I knew it was a lifelong goal of yours. Talk about the schedule right after. After you hear it, did you guys get right to work? You said that you had a little bit of a celebration, but what was the schedule like as far as the travel once you heard your name called? Just take us through that.
Well, it's just interesting. It's such a crazy tournament because, you know, we're called and you're so excited, and then you're like, holy crap, we got to figure out who the Vanderbilt is. We've never seen these guys play yet. And, you know, we're watching film on them right away. And, we got to work right away on Monday and Tuesday. I think we probably flew out, I would say, on a Wednesday. I can't remember exactly the day. It was a Tuesday or Wednesday. And you're sitting here going, okay. You know, I think we could play, you know, with these guys. I think we could beat these guys. Actually, you know, that year we beat UAB, who made the Sweet 16. We beat USC first game in my college career was against USC, and we beat them by 20. So we knew that we could beat mid-major programs with no problem. We beat Arizona State that season. So we weren't, you know, afraid of an SEC team. We actually felt like we were a better team than Vanderbilt. I think that the way we played, we didn't understand that, you know, we only had a few days to prepare against Vanderbilt. It was a different type of team that we hadn't seen. They had 2 7-footers. They had guard play that was very good that we didn't understand because they did use, you know, go down to the post a lot. ESPN had us Sweet 16 that year. I think a lot of guys on our team, we overlooked Vanderbilt. That may seem crazy, but at Western Michigan, I think we were good enough where we felt that we would get through Vanderbilt. And then, you know, you show up, and it's just surreal. It's different. It's a different feel. It's almost like you're going back to AAU. You got to play a couple games in a couple days, just like that. You've never seen the team you're playing, really. You don't have any idea. You watch film, but it's different. So it was surreal, man. You know, we got out there, and Vanderbilt outplayed us and won. But you'll never forget those moments, though. It was a different format those times. There's no doubt about it.
Really quick, I do want to just talk about the preparation that you guys went through. You said, ultimately, it is a little difficult to prepare for it, but how does a team plan for something like that? You got those conference tournaments where, okay, you've seen these teams 1-2 times before, so you kind of know what to expect. You said you didn't know what to expect from Vanderbilt. What's the preparation for the next round as well, should you have advanced? How did you guys plan for the weekend?
Yeah, that's what makes it difficult. You know, you don't you know, when we watched an NC State play before us, I want to say, you know, you're taking me back in time a little bit, but I think that they played Louisiana Lafayette, and they ran them off the court pretty good. So we're watching, and we knew about NC State because they had a guy named Julius Hodge who was really good. And so we watched the game a little bit before. So you're actually sitting and watching before you go out and play. We had a plan for Vanderbilt. You never prepare for the next team. It's just not how it goes. You survive in advance, so you got to prepare as hard as you can for that first game. And then you got to immediately bust butt and really try to figure out how to beat the next team in a day, which is crazy. We just had a plan for Vanderbilt. You know, we knew how we were going to defend them. We knew that they were big, and they had a player, CG, his last name, he was an NBA guy, and Shevashevsky was another seven-footer. We knew he had to be good down low, and we didn't know that they had a little guard named Mario Moore, who was unbelievable, and he lit us up. You know, we didn't know that he was going to come out and hit 5-6 threes, and we couldn't defend him off the ball screen. So it's hard. You only have so much time. We knew what Kent State ran all the time. We knew what some of these other teams ran. We felt we were successful against major programs because they underlooked us, but Vanderbilt didn't, and they came out and had a plan, and we prepared correctly, and there is a lot of preparation. I mean, those guys that do basketball operations don't get enough credit because you're cutting film, you're doing so much, and there's so much scouting goes into it. It's just such a different feel than professional basketball where you see the same team a million times. This is different in college.
I remember something Draymond Green said. He goes, every time, every tournament, the second we found out who it was, the managers had their hands on the tape and the basketball operations guys were cutting the film. And it was just a surreal process how quickly, at that level, they're able to accomplish what it is that they want to. Draymond Green was saying that the managers better know exactly where the other team was cutting, whether it be on the hash or the block, and exactly what hash it was. And so there's a lot of work that does go into the preparation. And so let's talk about some of the teams that are preparing for it. This year, it's been a year of parity. Everyone's been saying it more so than in the past regarding the regular season. Do you feel something like that is going to carry over, or is this a year where everything's just turned on its head and we're going to see a little more chalk?
I don't think it's ever going to change when it comes to parity, Tyler, because it's because of what we've just talked about, you know, about the, you don't see these teams. So it's always going to be parity because, honestly, when you're playing Division I basketball, you know, teams like, you know, Stony Brook, you know, you haven't seen them all year. Coach Calipari knows that they've got a big guy who just scored 43 points here tonight in his conference tournament game. So your eyes are open like, this guy just scored 43. He obviously can play. You know, maybe his story's different. We don't know how good this kid really is. Maybe he is an SEC, ACC type player. And you run into that a lot with these mid-major programs. And, you know, as a prime example is Stephen Curry. You know, he plays at Davidson. No one knows who the heck Davidson is like that. But, boy, they made some noise when he played for them. And you're going to run into players that may be the best player on the court. In the end, I think that, you know, some of the power teams do have a great shot still, but you just have to be careful. So the parity is always going to be there. You always got to worry about each game. Each game is going to be tough in its own little way. A lot of these coaches are very similar in the major programs. They run the same stuff. So, you know, you can kind of know what to expect from a Cincinnati versus, say, they're going to be physical, they're going to play hard. They've always been that way, you know. Kentucky's going to be dribble drive, kick it out. You know that you see them on TV, which is, you know, is great. It's almost a disadvantage when you play these mid-majors because you don't know what they're doing. But
really quick,
it's going to be a ridiculous tournament.
Yeah, really quick, one of the guys, let's update the Stephen Curry thing. We don't know about what type of run that these teams are going to make, but you look at a team like Providence. No one knew who Chris Dunn was until he went up for over 30 against Michigan State. And a lot of times, all you need, and tell me if I'm wrong here, sometimes you just need that one good, typically it's a point guard, who maybe gets on a hot streak. Now let's go back in time a little bit. Jerry McNamara, Syracuse, can Chris Dunn and Providence pull something off like this when they have a team like Carolina in Michigan State's region? Seton Hall, they get a lot of good guard play. What's one team that you could see making a run just squarely on the shoulders of their star player?
Providence, for sure. I mean, Providence has a ridiculous tough start. I mean, when you go against USC right away, that's not easy. USC is, the way they handled UCLA the other day was absolutely incredible. I think this year should be different, Ty, because I don't think it's going to come down to one player. I really don't. I think in years past, you're right, a guard can make the difference. I think the one player that will probably make the difference in some of these teams who's a star player will be on one of the better teams, actually, still, and that would be a Denzel Valentine, Oklahoma with Buddy Hield. Like, those are two guys that I look at right away where they can take their team all the way to the end. I don't look at a team that maybe
with Ben Simmons. Whoops.
Yeah, that happening. But, a lot of these other teams are just so spread out. I will throw a name in there, though, and I know this isn't going to, make you feel too excited, and you'll probably, give me some slack for this. But Grayson Allen for Duke. Duke struggled all year. He had a great run last year in the NCAA final. Maybe he steps up and has a couple of huge games. I got Duke going far. I've got Duke going to the Final Four. I shocked a lot of people. I just think they're going to turn it on at the right time. They have a million deficiencies, but I think they can do it.
Yeah, Duke's kind of an enigma this year, man. I filled out two brackets, I think, so far. Had them losing to UNC Wilmington in the first round, but then I had them in the Final Four the next. Same kind of deal. Had Van Vliet and company getting knocked out in the first round. Have them going to the Final Four the next thing, even as high of a seed as they are. So it's really interesting. Let's kind of break this down. What are some of the better early matchups? Because the first weekend is always the most exciting. There's always the most upset. There's always the most buzzer beaters. What matchups are you really looking forward to in this opening week? Which games should people be watching?
I think Seton Hall and Gonzaga is going to be a great game. I think that's going to be come down to the wire. I think Seton Hall is really good, but Gonzaga's had so much experience at this, and they've made good runs, so well coached. I can't wait to see that game. I'm really wanting to see what Purdue does in that first game against Arkansas Little Rock, just because I think Purdue is really big, and I think if they make a little run, win a few games, they might get some confidence. And I thought they played Michigan State extremely well, so I'm kind of curious to see how they do in that 5-12 matchup. West Virginia's been really good all year, but then you play against a team, Stephen Austin, who has been in the tournament all the time, and you kind of want to watch that one. The game I want to really watch is Kentucky, though. Kentucky and Stony Brook. Kentucky's playing excellent basketball right now. I think they've got the players to do it, and I want to see if they can get through those first two rounds. If they get through the first two rounds, that's going to be a great matchup with them and UNC. I don't see anybody beating North Carolina. So those are just kind of the games I'm watching. A lot of 4-13, 6, And my last one, of course, Michigan and Tulsa. And if Michigan wins, I want to see that Notre Dame-Michigan game. That'll be a good game as well.
Oh, my God. Living in South Bend as a Spartan fan, that's going to be the most insufferable game that I'm going to have to deal with.
Yeah,
if we have to
do either,
that
right?
As a 6-11. Oh, no. I believe a tie or stadium implosion is usually my response for who I'm pulling for in a game like that.
Yeah.
I do want to – you talked about it. Michigan, they're in a play-in game. Some people don't feel like they should have made the tournament. But then you look at the rest of the Big Ten. Iowa, their collective body of work, a lot of people figure – is better than the 7th seed, even though they struggled as of late. Purdue's a 5. Indiana, the Big Ten champs, a 5. Maryland is a 5 seed. And Purdue's playing about as well as anybody in the country right now. Michigan State, a lot of people thought they were going to be a 1 seed. Me and Ryan, we talked about it yesterday. We feel it's better to be a 2 in the Midwest than a 1 in the West, which would have been the case. Did the Big Ten get disrespected this year?
The Indiana thing, I scratch my head. I just don't understand I think if anyone watched Big Ten basketball this year, you know, and I know you did, and I know I watched a lot of it, it's just such a hard conference to win in. And the way they ran through and just won the conference, you know, really the Michigan State game, you know, Michigan State hammered them in the regular season. You know, they put them, yeah, definitely put them down easily at Breslin. But those two teams, I just don't see how either one of those teams isn't a 2 seed or 3 seed. You know, like Michigan State for sure, at least a 2. I don't see how Indiana's a 5, though. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think they get rewarded at all for anything they've done all season. They had a great regular season. They won a conference outright that was really difficult. I mean, Iowa played great at one point. Purdue's huge. Michigan State's all around very good. You play a team like Michigan who's not maybe as good as the others, but on any given night they could beat you. You know, you got Maryland to deal with. I mean, that's just a tough conference. And for them to be 5, and then your reward is, if you win and Kentucky wins, you play Kentucky, boy, what a joy that is, you know. And yeah, and Calipari has a point as well. Like maybe he feels they were, you know, they should have been a 4. But I think the way they struggled this year, it's probably best. But he's probably thinking a lot like, you know, why does Indiana have to be 5? You know, why do we have to play them in the second round? Why do they have to play us? And I would totally agree with that. And then you get North Carolina, you know, your Sweet 16 game that they went through. So it's like some of these guys picking these picks, you're not only hurting a Big Ten team and maybe, you know, screwing them out of a few things, but you're really hurting a team that has also earned some things, and now they got to play Indiana or in Iowa. You know, Iowa deserves to be 7. They struggled all year. How is Iowa only 2 seeds below Indiana? Is beyond me. You know, I don't understand that at all. And Purdue, I have no clue how Purdue's even ahead of them. Or the same, I'm sorry, but, you know, you scratch your head, and, you know, I'm a Calipari fan, I know you guys hate when I say that, but I love what he said, though. Hey, you just play. You just go with it, you play, and here's how it is, you know.
All right, we're kind of going to do a region-by-region breakdown here, all right? We've only got, like, less than 10 minutes left, but I do kind of want to get your thoughts on each region, and then who comes out of that region, you know, who is in your Final Four. So let's start in the South, the region with Kansas. You have UConn, who's been hot late, Maryland, Arizona, the Vanderbilt, Wichita State playing game, Miami, Iowa, Nova. Well, how do you see that region playing out?
South region is going to be a little interesting. I think that you'll see a couple upsets and those upsets are going to happen right away. I actually, I do have Maryland getting through for the Big Ten. I've got Connecticut upsetting Kansas in that second round game. I'm just not sold on Kansas, though. Everyone loves Kansas. I'm just not. So I actually have Connecticut upsetting them. That's a big, you know, big upset. I got Arizona getting through. A team I want to look out for is Miami. I think Miami can do some damage. They play with a lot of speed. They got good guard play. I think they can get all the way to the Elite Eight, and they're going to play Nova. And I've actually got Villanova coming out of there, out of the South. And I think they can. They got a chance to get to the Final Four on that region.
Yeah, I'm right there with you as far as the Miami thing. I had Miami typically going up against Cal in my Elite Eight, and I've had I think I've had Cal coming out of it. They're coming on strong as of late, and they are a young team. And so maybe that's the confidence that they need to maybe make that push. So you have Villanova. I've got Cal coming out of that region. Let's get to the West region with Oregon, Baylor, Texas, Duke, A&M, Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's been hard for me in the West because I want to think Oregon is good as some people say, but I just – those West Coast teams, it's so hard you don't get to watch them enough. And watching Oregon a little bit, they're very talented. They're really good. You know, that 5-12 matchup with Baylor and Yale is going to be kind of exciting because I think Yale is really good. And I think Yale is going to actually come out and win that. And then Duke gets a little bit of an easier ride by – you know, playing a team that's not an athletic second round, because I think Duke's going to get out of that West Division I think Duke actually has a great opportunity because I don't think it's a super hard bracket, to be honest. You know, that side of the bracket seems you know, not as difficult. Like Oklahoma's too, and I still think Oklahoma's so beatable. I just don't see them being a difficult team to beat for some of these guys. I've got them in Texas in the Sweet 16. I actually got Texas going all the way to the Elite Eight with Shaka Smart coaching them, being there and having that experience. And so Duke comes out in the West and kind of probably surprises some people. And, you know, it's surprising, but, you know, in the end, if you look at it, all these teams are capable, you know, for sure to do that.
I've got a – I mean, look, out of the West, you're pretty much dealing with the Big 12 at that point. You said you had Texas, I believe. Me, I'm going to go with A&M. I've got A&M beating Texas, and then I have the Aggies pulling through on that bracket. I think St. Joe's has a very, very good shot of upsetting Oregon, but like I said, Pac-12, it's really hard to see given our time schedule and the fact, well, I've got to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and so it makes it even harder for me. So,
right.
Tough to see Oregon, so I'm not going to give them too many props. That's another team I am going to keep my eye on. Let's head out east with UNC.
Yeah, it's, you know, like just like millions of people in the country, you know, like I still, you know, fill out multiple different, you know, ones and figure out, you know, different Final Fours, obviously, for each one. And it's always on North Carolina. Can they really do it? Can they get all the way to the Final Four? I have them on one of my brackets doing that. But on this one, you know, I'm still going to stick with my gut. I just don't think they're going to get through. And I think Kentucky's going to do it. And I think Kentucky gets through it. I think they have the players. You know, you got a guy like Tyler Ulis that, in my opinion, is the best all-around point guard in the country. You know, Jamal Murray's a handful. You know, he really is. And you know, they've got the guys that can make a run. I think Indiana gets through. They don't get upset. I got Michigan actually beating Notre Dame, though. I got them beating Tulsa, then beating Notre Dame, and then I got West Virginia beating them by about 100 because I don't even think that's going to be a game. But I think, you know, Pitt's going to handle Wisconsin first round. That'll be another good game to watch. So I think that, you know, you'll see it will definitely be Kentucky getting through that side. And then that Kentucky-West Virginia game is going to be really, really good. That's going to be, you know, the game to go to the Final Four. Two good coaches, a lot of talent on the floor. So, yeah, the East Kentucky is that's what I'm feeling in my gut.
I've got a West Virginia win in that Kentucky game. I also think Indiana can pull through. I like the senior leadership of Yogi Ferrell, or if you think he's been in college as long as I do, the senior citizen leadership. I've got him, but I've got West Virginia coming out of that. I've got Michigan State on the next region, so I'll really quick. I need that from you.
Say that. I'm sorry, Ty. I couldn't hear you. Say that. The Midwest.
Really quick. I need you out of the Midwest.
Oh man, tough. It's. I don't think there's anyone that should scare anyone more than Iowa State. You know, being there. I have them getting through, beating Virginia, and then I've got another Michigan State Iowa State game, and I'm going back and forth with that. Who do I think can win? And I think Michigan State's the best team in the country right now. I really do. But I think that it's going to take they're going to have to play well, of course. But I don't want to see a Virginia-Michigan State game. I don't want to see that unfold again. It was just such a rough basketball game to watch last year. But, you know, that's obviously very, you know, it definitely can happen. But, yeah, I got Michigan State going through to the Final Four. Should be a great Final Four with them in Kentucky, and on that end, and it's up for grabs this year, though. Ty, it really is, man. Yep. It just is.
Very quick, your championship and winners.
You know, it's just that this. I can only go by what I'm seeing, you know, right now, and I just think that Kentucky has what it takes for some reason. I think that they beat State on out of the bracket. They're young and they may be inexperienced, but they've got the players, and I think they get out of it there. And you know, I've on both brackets, I've had Kentucky, you know, in the championship, and then or North Carolina in the championship, you know, and won Kansas within. So it's so crazy. So I'll go on just total thoughts here on all the brackets. I do see Kansas and Kentucky playing each other, you know, even though I just told you on this show that they wouldn't get through. So, you know, that's an opportunity, you know, that you'll see that. So if it's not Kansas and them, I have a feeling about Nova. They're finally going to take that jump. So Kentucky and Nova on another one. So Kentucky's going to win it, though. I have Kentucky the clear-cut winner, and you'll be so happy so I can keep talking about Coach Calipari.
Yeah, I've got Cal in it. I've got Michigan State winning. I just like the senior leadership on that team, frankly, and I think that that's going to carry it through. The good guard play we've talked about. They have Denzel Valentine. You don't get much better than that. But that does it for us today. Be sure to check us out later this week. We'll hook you up with a weekend preview show for the opening weekend, Michigan State versus Middle Tennessee State. And then hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about them playing Dayton or Syracuse.